And Kathy Dawes again with Pottawatomie County Public Works Director Peter Clark, County Commissioner Travis Altenhofen, and looks like we might have a call. We'll wait and see if that is for us. Let's go ahead and lead right off with a phone call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. I'd like to ask the commissioner, south of 24, Rockingham and Franklin Drive, are they on the pave or chip and seal plan in the near future?
I'll let that one be turned over to Peter.
Peter Clark?
Awesome. I do want to say, first off, before I get into the details of the planning for which roads to improve from gravel to paved, that we're trying to prioritize which of those roads to do based on a couple different factors. One is the traffic volume. It's probably one of the biggest factors we're weighing. It's how much traffic those roads carry, because that has some of the most impact on the amount of maintenance that's required, the amount of rock that has to get put down, and how much dust is produced, and creates an unsafe scenario. In addition to that, we also look at the geometry of the road, you know, how bad the sight distance may be because of hills, things of that nature. Because of that, Vineyard Road, which was carrying about 500 cars a day on the south side of 24, was our number one priority, and we're just about wrapping that regrading project up, and the pavement will be coming in early 2018. Our next project after that is Elm Slough, which carries, again, another high volume of traffic and has some unsafe conditions with the hills and the width. And then following after that, we're planning on doing Salzer Road to kind of help finish up the loop there. However, after that, we have not specifically identified which of those roads we'll be getting to, but Franklin and Rockingham on the south side of 24, I do know carry a significant volume of cars because it's a major connection from the city of St. George up to Highway 24, in addition to a lot of homes being in that area. So there's a good potential, though I cannot quote exactly which one comes after Salzer. There's a good potential that both those roads would be good candidates. But we're going to base that decision for which road comes after those based on the factors I just stated.
Travis, real quickly, we have another call waiting if you wanted to respond too.
Yep, I wanted to add one thing. And this brings up a bigger question of the county at large, and how do we make those decisions in terms of which roads are going to become paved and which ones are not? Because it is a great, you know, in the rural area, we have more rock roads. I understand we don't have the volume of traffic, but at the same point, how do you fund these projects? And that is a big concern of mine. And that's one that many of the people in the northern part of the county are trying to find answers to as well, is are they paying for the southern part of the county as well?
We have another phone call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please.
You know, the quality of life issue with the kids going over to high school, they're at Hopkins Creek Road and Ellis Road, there's no stop signs there, and the trees have grown right out into the intersection where you can't see either direction. Somebody's going to get hit there going to school or coming back from school.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, Hopkins Creek and Ellis Roads?
Yes. They're coming, you know, and that's the only road you can go across to the east from the Lake Road.
From Lake Elbow Road?
Elbow Road, yes.
I'll take that and take your information, and we'll see what we can do to address that situation.
Thanks for the
call.
Yeah,
even if they cut the trees back instead of a stop sign or anything, it would help.
Thank you.
Appreciate that call. We have another call. You guys are popular today. I told you, talk roads and bridges. Boy, it starts to ring. Go ahead, please, with your question or comment.
Hi. Yes, I would like to add to the lady that had called earlier on regard to Franklin and Rockingham. I do reside on that road, and I would like to add comment. Not only is the gravel that they put there is a softer gravel, and the amount of vehicles that do travel that road, it just crushes to powder. And it is dusty, extremely dusty. There's lots of people that are out there walking and walking their dogs or walking just for exercise. And it does make it very dangerous because people do go very fast on that road. And just to also add, I petitioned my neighborhood and got signatures well over 15 years ago to see about the possibility of having that road actually chipped and sealed, to help with that. And that goes back when Lou Lowry was there. And at that time, we were possibly being considered and was given the excuse that if a one-cent sales tax goes through, that that might even be able to help that happen a little bit sooner. And like I said, that's been over 15 years ago. So I would really like to see that we kind of get bumped up a little bit higher on that priority list to see that actually happen. Because when Lou had mentioned that, he said it may be about 7 or 9 years. So, well, we're well after that. So thank you for your time.
Having our own little public hearing today on air.
I appreciate those comments, and I will acknowledge there is a significant backlog on the roads that need to be improved, the gravel roads that need to be turned into paved roads. I don't want to downplay in any way the volume of those roads that we need to take care of. If I had to estimate right now, just at this very moment, there's probably approximately 15 to 20 miles that need to be done right now. And anticipating in the near future, probably another 5 to 10, as we continue to see growth throughout that southern part of the county. So it's a hard project of keeping up with what needs to be done. We acknowledge that these are roads that, without being paved, are going to continue to be troublesome to the people who live there because of the volume, because of the dust. One of the things we're looking at is a shift in our dust control program for next year. Is trying to kind of a stopgap as we're, as the progress for paving the roads continues at a fairly methodical yet slow basis, is to potentially do mandatory, or that the county would engage in doing dust control unilaterally on certain roads that carry a traffic volume at a certain amount. So, if you're carrying over 200 or 300 cars a day, that all the roads that carry that much volume, that we would automatically put dust control on those roads without having people to apply to have dust control put on those roads, just for the factor of trying to keep those roads safe. We'd still have a dust control program for others who would want to have dust control applied to the roads, but to go ahead and be proactive and put dust control on those heavy volume roads to help keep the traffic, help keep the dust down, in anticipation that we would be coming eventually to pave those roads.
537-1350. We'll hang on to you two gentlemen just a little bit longer, if that's okay. And because there's one other subject we haven't even gotten to, but I know is of quite a bit of interest. And there's been some discussion lately, Travis. I think you even campaigned on it, of having your meetings televised, and I guess that didn't really go through.
It's not done yet. So currently, the beginning was with Wamego Telecommunications and Blue Valley Telecommunications. That would get about 75% of the county geographically covered. If they had those services, they could then be able to watch our meetings televised if the county would allow this agreement to accept the donation of equipment, the video equipment that is needed to record the meetings and that. And then they would be televised on their local content channels. The only real cost to the county, so to speak, would be putting it on our insurance policy, because it would be our equipment at that point when they donate it to us, and then turning it on and off. So right now I've been trying to get the other two to come on board with me. To be able to open up our meetings, because so many people, they work and they have other commitments, and Monday morning at 8:30, that's not going to be their highest priority, but they do want to know what's going on, and this is an easy way of making that accessible. Where it's come to now is, after some further discussion, I'm hoping we can get Cox Communication on board as well. And if that's possible, we will essentially have 100% of the county that would be open or able to be televised, or people would be able to watch it if they had those services with them. And then if I could even take it a step further, it would be to then take that content and actually put it on the county's website as well. But one step at a time, and that's just trying to
right now, you're kind of
them.
The only one that's really
I am the only one right now that's receptive to it right now. So.
Okay, well, appreciate that update. Before we wrap up today, anything else we're missing today, Travis? And I'll ask Peter the same thing that we need to highlight for folks today.
We've got a lot of planning to do at our county.
Okay.
Get organized.
Peter, anything to add today for folks?
Oh, I probably, there's probably four or five more bridges to talk about, but we'll save those for another time. We're still waiting on money from FEMA to replace two bridges, the Antelope Run Bridge and McKee Road Bridge. And I want to tell the people who live out in those areas that we are still very conscientious of that those closures on those bridges and want to get those done. We're just waiting on the check to arrive.
All right. Well, thanks to both of you for coming in. Lots of interest today from our listeners. Pottawatomie County Commissioner Travis Altenhofen and Public Works Director Peter Clark will take a break. And coming up next, we have Bob Mertz and Melissa Wall of Riley County, Glen Bronco of Pottawatomie County, going to talk a little bit about farming. And, of course, they're all also involved with the Kansas Farm Bureau. We'll be back in a moment.